This audio recording is a service of Incarnation Catholic Church, a Roman Catholic parish of the personal ordinariate of the Chair of St. Peter. We thank you for listening, and we invite you to visit us in person in Orlando, Florida, or on the web at www.ordinariate.org. The following sermon was preached on Sunday, March 3, 2024, the third Sunday in Lent, by Father William Doc Holliday.
The statutes of the Lord are right. May the words of my mouth and meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer, that in the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
I know in the out in the bulletin it said that it's the Decalogue, as it is every first Sunday. But I figured you didn't want to hear it twice, being that it was the first reading also. But we're going to talk about the Decalogue today. Oh, lessons on the commandments. I do not want to look at them as commandments plural. I want to look at them as we don't do so often, and that's look at them as the corpus of things that our Lord has presented to us in order that we may know his goodness for us and what he expects of us as his people. It's not a matter of 10 different rules that we have to keep. It is a matter of, again, a presentation of his love for us. I oft say that he did not give us his law to make us good people. He gave us his law because it is good for us. This is the reality of the law. You don't have to look at it. And I actually submit to you, you should not always be separating it as the 10 different rules that we're supposed to see, but look at it as a manifestation of, again, what God expects of us. As St. Augustine says this about the law, the 10 commandments. He says, if carefully examined and well understood, whatever else is commanded by God will be found in the 10 commandments. Just as these 10, in turn, are reducible to 2, the love of God and of our neighbor, on which hang all the law and the prophets. This is why I didn't, again, want to do the Decalogue today, because we did the summary of the law at the beginning, and the 10 commandments were read as the first reading. And you look at those two, this is the glory of God. This is how magnificent he is. You know, we get the Bible, right? Most people have not read the Bible cover to cover. Unfortunately, most people have not. They should. But when we look at the Bible as a whole, why don't we read it? It's so intimidating. It's this, that, and the other thing. There are all these precepts and all these rules and all this kind of stuff. Like St. Augustine hits the nail on the head. Everything you read in the scriptures is consolidated in the Ten Commandments. And God is so magnificent that if you can't memorize the 10, he gives you 2. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, your all your soul, and all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. On these 2 commandments hang all the law and the prophets. And if that might be too difficult, St. John the Divine in his letter says, if you love one another, you have fulfilled the entirety of the law. It's about love. It's about God's caring for us. He cares for us and he wants us to do right because it is right. Those words that I started this out with, the statutes of the Lord are right. They actually come from our offertory today, which is Psalm 19. The second half of Psalm 19 speaks very specifically of not the Ten Commandments, but approaching God's law as a whole. The statutes of the Lord are right. They are indeed. And anything that lacks conformity to or is in violation of the commandments of God is wrong. Most 2-year-olds understand right and wrong. It's right if it's in accord with God's commandments. It's wrong if it's not. Simplicity before us. But we have so much trouble with that. We are people of the excuse. Oh, I know it says this, but that. I know it says that, but right or wrong. Bottom line, that's all there is to it. It is that important. The law of the Lord should regulate our very being. It should regulate our lives, particularly for those of us who are called his children. It should regulate our lives. It should be a no-brainer that it would do that. But again, we have a lot of trouble with that. I'll speak for myself. I have a lot of trouble with it. Okay? And I'm a priest. The Roman Catechism says this, directed toward priests, concerning the law. It says, since it is the case that the law of the Lord is so important, the pastor should give his days and nights to its consideration, unless he is desirous that his ignorance should be an injury to himself or to others, speaking about the people in his charge. If there's anything that the priest should study, anything, it's the law of the Lord. It's really cool to be able to talk about this in the Old Testament and how many times you had to dye badger skins and how many gold overlays there were on the Ark of the Covenant and all the Bible trivia that you can throw out there. That's all well and good. But the most important thing, priest or no, is the law of the Lord. What it means, I hear it all the time from people who haven't been to Mass in a while. What about confession? You got to go at least once a year. If you don't go to confession once a year, that in and of itself is a grave sin. I don't have to go to confession. I haven't done anything. I don't violate the commandments. I haven't killed anybody. Oh, ignorance is bliss. There are some examinations of conscience out there that will... I was actually looking at one this morning. I was like, oh, that's rough. Because they're like a page under every commandment. Yeah, and if you do this, which I did like probably 40% of them, you violate this commandment. You got to know them. We need to know their interpretation. We need to go to confession and confess those little things that we did to violate commandments. This is what our Lord is talking about. They're right. Right versus wrong. The regulation of our lives. This is what we're looking toward. You can go to Exodus 20 or you can go to the book of Deuteronomy, which means the second law, which means the second time God gave it, because remember, Moses smashed the first ones. So God gave them twice. But you go to Psalm 19 and it speaks very, very succinctly about the corpus of the law. It says God's law, one commentator says this, he says God's law is to be esteemed and loved. How do most people view the commandments? It's the list of rules, right? It's a list of rules. You don't do this, you do that, okay? Let's move on. No, we are supposed to esteem and love the law of the Lord. Because why? It is a manifestation of his very being. It is who he is. Our Lord, our Lord who gave the law on Sinai, when he is incarnate, he says, I have not come to abolish the law, but to fulfill it. I am the law. When we look at it that way, if you say you esteem and love Jesus, if you admire and love Jesus, you should admire and love his presentation of himself, which is the law. How many times have you ever meditated upon, I hope you do occasionally, the last time you meditated on the Ten Commandments, and the last time you meditated, did you think, I love these things. I admire the law of God so much. We look at it and go, oh, really? The rules. No, that's not the way we should approach it. We should approach it with esteem and love. In Psalm 19, I'm not going to go through all of them. There are six things articulated about the law of the Lord. And it doesn't enumerate any of the commandments. It says, for instance, that the law of the Lord is unspotted, converting souls. The law converts souls. That's what that is like the, it's the litmus test, is whether you're a convert or not. Like St. Paul, if I didn't have a law, I wouldn't know what sin was. God's written it down for us. That's another thing, another aspect of the law. The law is just the codification. It is just the writing down of the natural law that's in the heart of every man. Every man and woman walking the face of this planet, well, that's for this society. In every single society, the law of God applies. They don't look at it as a law of God, but it applies because it's a natural law. There is no society on the face of the planet where killing people is okay. What about the headhunters? They never kill their own tribe, ever. Because why? Because killing like people is wrong. That's just, it's the natural law. Everybody, there is not a society on the face of the planet. Well, it's okay to steal. We take stuff from each other all the time. Well, you might take stuff from each other all the time, but there's always killing as a result of it. It's the natural law. Every society on the face of this planet gets it. The ones that deal with dealing with people. We look at these things and you see the essential nature of the law. Cogitate on this one for a second. If every person on the face of this planet adhered to the Ten Commandments, there would be no problems. None. I actually think about these things before I say things like that because I kind of, all week I was like, could there be a problem? None. If everybody lived accordingly, there would be no problems. Where do problems stem from? Why do people kill people? Because they stole something from me. Why do people kill them? So somebody could have committed adultery with my husband, my wife. If you didn't do those things, none of these other things would happen. Everybody would be all hunky-dory. But we are sin, cursed, and fallen. And we can't adhere to these laws. This is our Catholic faith. We continue to try more and more and more to conform ourselves to the revealed will of God. Because the more and more you conform yourself, the less and less problems you have in this world. It is that essential. This is why Psalm 19 refers to it as light. The law of the Lord is light, enlightening the soul. How essential light is for us. You really think about it. We take it so for granted. You walk into the room, you throw on the light switch, because why? It's dark. You don't want to walk around the dark. Why? Because you can bump your head on stuff and trip over things and all that kind of good stuff. There is not a blind person on the face of this planet that if you ask them would say, no, I like being blind. I don't want to see. It's essential to happiness. Not to say blind people aren't happy, but they would be more happy if they saw. The more we are enlightened by the law of God, the happier we are. It is that essential, light. No law, no light. It's a foundation for a happy life. Psalm 19, it is preferable to anything in this world. I'm always saying, pay attention to the details. Pay attention to things like, when it says in Psalm 19, the law of the Lord is more precious than gold. It is sweeter than honey and the honeycomb. Okay, that sounds very illustrative, very Old Testament. Let us move on. No, think about that for a second. What is it talking about? Those two examples, what? Gold are tangible things. Gold are possessions. You know, we are all about possessions, stuff. We love stuff. That's what it's talking about. The law is more precious than anything that you can think of. Is what, if everybody, you know, I collect a lot of things, but at the end of the day, if you could collect gold, if you had enough, that was what you'd be collecting because it's worth a whole lot. That it's tangible. It's tangible. It goes away. Not it, but you. That's it. That honey part, what is that? Sensual pleasures. Things that taste, feel, smell, look good. So when it says the law of the Lord is more precious than gold, sweeter than the honey, the honeycomb, whether it's a possession or something that you want to touch, feel, taste, whatever, the law of the Lord far exceeds these things. Why? Because it's eternal. The heavens and earth will pass away, but my word will never pass away. This is how essential this is for us. There's an integral part, if you've been, Psalm 19, talking about the law. There's an integral part of the law, I think, that hardly anyone ever considers. Part of the law of God that's integral is the fear of the Lord. There's no commandment that says, thou shalt fear the Lord. No, there doesn't have to be a commandment like that because he puts threats on a bunch of commandments. Like the first one. You know, I'm the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt. Don't make any graven images before you. That's what we usually hear. And then we move on to the second. But it doesn't end there in the presentation we heard this morning. This is how God presented the law. And after he says, don't make any images, he says, I am the Lord thy God, mighty, jealous, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me. That's a threat. That sounds like a threat. It doesn't sound like it is. It is a threat. There are consequences if you do a violation of this law. Second commandment, don't take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. Doesn't stop there. For the Lord will not hold him guiltless that shall take the name of the Lord his God in vain. Wow, another threat. Not to mention the whole deal when the people were receiving the law, or Moses are receiving it, but they're standing at the bottom of the mountain looking up there. What does it say after Moses gets done hearing all the commandments? And all the people saw the voices and the flames, and being terrified and struck with fear, they stood afar off. Moses, you talk to God. You tell us what he said. We want no part of that. Why? That's a well-founded fear of the Lord. Fear of the Lord is an integral part of the law. This is what we're missing. Because why do we approach it like the 10 suggestions occasionally? The 10 guidelines for really uber Catholics? No. No. You have to have a fear of the Lord for each and every one of them. Even those ones that don't have a threat attached to them. But our minds, because we are prone to sin as a result of the fall, we have to understand the reality of this whole thing of our perception. And this is the whole deal. We got to fix our perception of the law. St. Robert Bellarmine, some people around here love to read. And I get done with homilies, and it's like usually the same three people that I get a text. What was that book? What was that? If you want to read a book on the Psalms, it's titled, this is kind of easy to remember, A Commentary on the Psalms by St. Robert Bellarmine. St. Robert Bellarmine, it's like a thick, it's a good one. St. Robert Bellarmine says, speaking on Psalm 19, how far from these truths are the ideas of the carnal man? We can't help it. That's all of us. We're all carnal. We're all living in this world. We're all trying to work through this. And that puts the concepts of like the esteem and love of the law of God way far away from us. It's weird. We're supposed to esteem and love something, but we look at it as an arduous task. 10 arduous tasks that we just have such difficulty, you know, and dare I say, a lot of, well, that was for back in the day. That's not for us because we know, oh, how dangerous that is. This is how far the carnal mind is from why we have the law, because he loves us and he wants us to love him back. This is how much I love you. I want everything that's good for you. So you do these things. And if you don't, you're not loving me. This is a reality that St. Robert Bellarmine puts out. So I was talking before about the natural. Even pagans get the whole, you know, when the law talks about how we relate to other people. Godless heathens, absolute godless heathens, at least tacitly admit that it's not a right thing to steal. It's not a right thing to kill. They have all the reasons why they do it. They have all kind of excuses why they do things. But, you know, they know, yeah, you shouldn't really kill, you shouldn't really steal, commit adultery, you shouldn't lie. But again, there's always an excuse. But they still know it. Now, for us, we should pay more attention to that, hopefully. But when you start talking about the commandments that relate to how we associate with God, you know, we're his people. And say, you know, the pagan blows those off. They don't believe in God, so I don't have to worry about the first one, the second one, the third. I don't have to worry about any of those. I should just do the right thing, maybe, and not lie to my mom. And that kind of stuff. Just leave it at that. But, you know, when it comes to the way we relate to God, we should pay very, very strict attention. And even we have problems with this. You look at things like, you know, the first commandment. I am the Lord your God. You have no other gods but me. How do most people look at that? Well, I don't have a statue of a frog or a golden calf in my house, so I don't have to worry about that one. Anything you put before God is an idol. Anything you put before God It takes priority. And that includes very well-meaning things like your family. You cannot put your family above God. He doesn't say, thou shalt have no other gods with me but your family. We can put nothing before him. Nothing. We got a problem with that. I'm speaking from my perspective because I hear a lot of this stuff. This is the second commandment. So it's probably kind of important to God. The second commandment that has a threat attached to it, thou shalt not use the name of the Lord thy God in vain. You wouldn't believe how many times I hear that like, sort of like attack on at the end of a confession, like, oh, that was so big. I used the name of the Lord thy God in vain a few times, several times, or a lot. Wow. This other thing that you talked to me about your impatience and you're rolling your eyes at your kids and, you know, yelling at your husband, you know, all those things, you know, that, oh my gosh, that's what I need confession. Oh yeah. And I broke the second commandment that's got a threat attached to it a bunch of times. What? And we do it all the time. Use the divine name flippantly. All over the place. You know, this, and then use it to curse people? I mean, it's horrendous. The violation of commandment. What's that? Boys will be boys. He'll get it. He understands. Yeah, he does. And he says, I'm not going to hold you guiltless for it. Once. Yeah, we got to get our minds right when it comes to this stuff. And you know, like the Sabbath. Honor the Sabbath and keep it holy. Heck, look at the church, man, for the past 70 years. I'll shorten this up, shorten that. I've got to get people out of here. People just, in this day and age, people just don't want to sit around anywhere for an hour. They can't do that. Wow. That's a violation of that commandment. Thou shalt honor the Lord's day. And we got to keep shortening up the hour that people stay in there. I would like to throw out that one that I heard about 3-4 years ago where somewhere the marching orders were, I don't care what you do liturgical, but there will not be a person sitting in this parish 40 minutes after Mass starts. Wow. The Lord's day. The day. You got to get people out of here 40 minutes. What they do after that, it's on them. We got to fix this. It's serious. You know, and if you got any fear of the Lord, it should kind of raise your eyebrows to this thing. Say Robert Bellamy, he ties everything up. How many people are there that for a paltry sum or a trivial gratification will turn their back on the Lord of glory? Think about that. Judas Iscariot, like the worst example of this whole thing. I mean, he literally turned his back on the Lord of glory. Turns him over for what? 30 pieces of silver? The price of a slave. Wasn't that big deal of money? Wasn't millions and millions. 30 pieces of silver to turn over the Lord of glory. We got to be careful because we do the same thing. Every time we violate one of these commandments, we betray him. We spit on the cross. He said, don't do these things. These are the big 10. Don't do them. Well, I'm not going to study what they mean and everything like that, so I'm just going to... No. We got to get better at this. This is what Lent's all about. Been harping on this whole Lent thing for weeks now and got a few more weeks to do. This is where we engage. Where have I dropped the ball on this stuff? Where have I dropped the ball on this stuff? Where can I fix it? This is why we do these things. There's a method to the madness. So we need to appreciate God's law. You need to learn it. Saying another Mass. I'd be kind of hard pressed. Okay, everybody line up outside my office and you're going to come in and you're going to write down the Ten Commandments in order for me. I think there'd be some people sweating. And it shouldn't be that case because, I mean, for instance, you know, in our baptismal rite, the traditional baptismal rite, parents and godparents, what is your duty? To teach this child the Hail Mary, the Our Father, and the Ten Commandments. How many parents have taught your kids the Ten Commandments in order? And if you have, praise God for you. You're an anomaly. But most parents don't know Ten Commandments in order. They stand before the baptismal font, the Lord Jesus Christ on the altar, and say they're going to do it. We got to get better at this. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost.